Welcome to The Buyer's Desk, your weekly resource for all things natural food retail. Each month starts with a deep dive into SPINS data, spotlighting growth trends and key industry insights. Then I'll bring you conversations with industry leaders and highlight brands making waves in the natural channel. We'll wrap up each month with actionable strategies, collaborative discussions, and tactical tips to help you thrive. This season is packed with fresh perspectives, big ideas, and everything you need to stay informed in natural food retail. Welcome back to The Buyer's Desk. I'm Angela Bozo.
And I'm Sarah Fulton-Kerbling.
And we are here to introduce our last backstock episode of this particular little hiatus. We have some fresh, new, phenomenal content coming at you in 2026 and feel actually pretty good about this final backstock episode because it is topical and relevant. Last year, I had the pleasure of interviewing Cornucopia Institute Deputy Director Michelle Marchetti, and she went and explained how the nonprofit charity helps consumers cut through the marketing noise in organic. The Who Owns Organic booklet is back this year.
You love to see it. The way that it tracks ownership and the structure of different companies in the industry is something I think is really important information for consumers to understand, as you know, the dream of many startup and independent companies is to be acquired, which is great for them, but perhaps something consumers want to know about. So I love this brochure and this booklet, which really helps retailers tell that story to their shoppers.
Absolutely. And in fact, the popular Who Owns Organic booklet is available again. So Infra members can head to naturalfoodretailers.com to sign up for a box or two of Cornucopia's updated Who Owns Organic booklets. You can, of course, give them out wherever you give out this kind of information in your store. We highly encourage you to do an independence-themed end cap or have any special event throughout the summer and fall. Absolutely makes sense for independently owned grocery retailers to support other independently owned brands. The booklets are free and the deadline to sign up is Monday, June 8th.
So without further ado, check out this final episode from the backstock.
Hey folks, and welcome to The Buyer's Desk, an Infra podcast. My name is Chris Sorensen.
And I'm Angela Bozo, and we are your hosts.
And this month, we're turning the spotlight on independents. Independent retailers, independent brands, and even independent advocacy groups, and in the meaningful work that we all do every day to support a more transparent and value-driven food system.
Today, we're thrilled to welcome Michelle Marchetti from the Cornucopia Institute, a nonprofit watchdog organization that works to protect organic integrity and supports economic justice for family-scale farming. You may remember our conversation from our animal welfare episode where we discussed their product scorecards. But today, we're diving into a special initiative, their independent organic brand list. Michelle, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
I think we teed up pretty well who the Cornucopia Institute is, but if you want to give us a quick rundown and then kind of segue into like why the independent organic brand list, I think that would be a great place to start.
Fantastic. Yeah. So the Cornucopia Institute is we're the trusted messenger for organic food. We've been helping eaters navigate the food system and the grocery store for going on two decades now. So we're a nonprofit charity funded primarily by individuals who care really deeply about the food they eat. And another source of funding is from independent retailers. And so indie retailers and their customers are crucial allies in our work. And this work for us is all about protecting the organic marketplace and giving eaters and retailers the information they need to find food they can trust. So transparency is really the cornerstone of our work.
And Michelle, what do you do at the Cornucopia Institute?
So I work closely with our retail partners. I also oversee our communications, and those things are definitely linked. I really rely on my conversations and relationships with indie retailers to, elevate our messaging around organic. We're a scrappy, tight-knit team here at Cornucopia. I am part of a 4-person leadership team and a staff of 8. And our collaborative approach is really woven into the DNA of the organization and really extends to how we go about our partnerships.
I love that, scrappy, because I feel like on some level that is a little bit part of independence. Talk to us about what went into building this list. Like, I know we had a little bit of a sidebar before we started this conversation where I asked a bunch of what I kind of consider to be technical questions about what makes a brand independent, but I think it would be best to hear it from you.
Sure. So I want to start by saying that this list really grew out of customer demand, consumer demand, I should say. So we have this chart called Who Owns Organic that's been around for many years, was informed by the important work of Dr. Phil Howard, and it shows which brands are owned by the top 100 food processors in North America. And so that you can like look at that list and say, who owns, let's say, Blue Bottle Coffee, or who owns Horizon? So these brands that you buy all the time, you don't necessarily know the corporations that are behind them. So after years of having this work out there, we heard from our supporters, this is really interesting information. What do you want me to do about it? And so out of that list, out of that chart, grew this idea that what we really need to do is come up with another list that tracks the remaining independent, nationally available, all organic brands in the marketplace. So let me repeat that. So they have to be 100% certified organic, nationally available, meaning they're leased on both coasts, and they're independent. And then what we did is we combined these two sources of information into one booklet so that when you're in the grocery store, when you're in your indie retailer, you have this alphabetized list and you can see when you're scanning products on the shelf, is my product that I've been buying for these many years, is it independent or is it corporate owned?
So Michelle, to get that list, I'm sure there's a lot of investigating that goes into that. How do you update that list? How do you get that information and how do you ensure that that stays up to date? Like how long do you, let it go before you make an update? And how do you verify some of that information too?
Sure. So that's a good question. I will say that this research takes several months of multiple people on our staff doing this work. It's deep work. It's always changing. So we scoured press releases and investment company and corporate websites and annual reports. We had so many conversations with Infra members. You know, we asked our partners in retail, in the organic industry to share what they've seen and heard. And that is really, I will say, woven into all the work we do here at Cornucopia, because we've been at this for 2 decades. We have so many people up and down the supply chain that we rely on to get the real story about what's happening in the marketplace. And so we do our best. We rely on the people who inform our work to keep it up to date. And like I said, it's always changing. So we're always going back to it and saying, okay, does anything need to come off this list, come on this list? And so while we do have the booklet that we've been distributing in retailers throughout the country, we have a QR code on the booklet that goes to a page on our website so that you can always have the most up-to-date information about who owns your favorite organic brands. And how often do we update it? That was another question you had, Chris. So we do thorough updates annually. And in the interim, you know, between updates, we're relying on what information comes to us. So we actually just got out of a meeting yesterday to plan our annual update for next year. So yes, thorough annual updates and then in between, you know, staying on our toes.
I like that. It's a really great use of leveraging the physical booklet that I could see somebody wanting to take with them to the store and the time sensitivity that is being able to put something on a website. You did say something that I thought was really interesting for just a moment. Have you had brands that had done something to take them out of the independent bucket, but then go back? Or am I just thinking about that incorrectly? And we mostly have independent brands that start and then they end up getting enmeshed in a particular corporate structure. Yeah.
Yeah. What do the typical scenario is you have, I mean, if you think about the life cycle of a brand, right? So you have a brand that's created with a whole lot of passion And in the back of this brand's mind is the idea of, I probably want to take this out of my little community. And how am I going to do that? And what money is entailed to get there? And then you also probably have in the back of their mind this idea that there could be a payout. There could be a corporation that will come along and buy this company. And that, I mean, let's be frank here, like that can change not only the founders' lives, the families' lives, like we're talking generations that it can change. So there's no judgment here. This is really just about celebrating the independent brands that remain so that we can do our best to protect the marketplace and then also keep the infrastructure strong for all the other independent brands that are waiting in the wings, because there's always others ready to take the place of the ones that get bought out.
Yeah, that is a conversation that has come up even at the Infra office is, you know, as brands grow, what are the brands that are like growing with Integrity that are intentionally independent and plan on staying independent? And are there people that like their plan is to sell out and to do that? Because I think that is some people's intention. And talking to some of the brands that are on that list that are on the show for this month in July as well, you know, Grandy Organic specifically, we talked to Aaron Aker and like, he's rooted in that independence. And you know, that's something where they have no intention of doing that, at least at this point in time. So it's always interesting to know like how someone starts that brand with that intention of like maintaining that independence or with, I'm going to build this to sell it off. And that's my intention. So I think as we're talking to brands and vetting them to put them on our shelves in our stores of like understanding what is the intention behind this brand and like what purpose does it serve in the store as well. Because I think you said something that also kind of resonated with me of like, yeah, it's okay for people to sell some of these brands and there's still integrity in those brands. And that's something I learned with talking to Seth Goldman too, that you know, if you're selling a brand and it can maintain the integrity of the brand and it's making organic more ubiquitous, what's wrong with that if it still holds the integrity? So yeah, I think it always goes into knowing this information, but you said like, how do people use it? You know,
right. And we do see, I mean, there is a spectrum of things that happen. And you pointed out one scenario in which a founder stays involved and they feel like the integrity is not sacrificed. And there's the other scenario that we see frequently where over time, the ingredients change. And we have a group of eaters who are very plugged into their organic food. And we hear from them and we love when we hear from them. They say, the packaging looks the same, but the product tastes different. Or I'm seeing this ingredient that I hadn't seen before. And so or maybe the product size changes, right? And so we see a range of scenarios that can happen when a brand is purchased. And this is just, we see it as, it's another data point for the eater. And transparency, again, it goes back to transparency. Like we think that we all deserve to know not only what's in our food, but who is responsible for making decisions about the things that we're putting in our bodies.
Well, which is why I actually love you that you use the term eater and not consumer. Somehow that feels a little bit more personal because I agree. There are so many different ways you could think about why you would be making that decision. There's of course the power that I have on this planet is to put my money where, you know, in things that I believe. And I know that that eater exists. But I also think the ingredient piece is a really critical point. If you are a label reader, and you think you know something about a brand, and then it gets changed, you might not have been motivated to pick up that label and read it again. And so that can really be important.
I think what's really important that a lot of people don't necessarily consider is the impact of a brand that's both organic and independent, and what that means for someone for whom chemical sensitivity is, right, really, really important. Like we're talking about like life or death for some of these people. I mean, we have people on our staff at Cornucopia who have mast cell disorder. We've heard of, you know, Vietnam vets who've exposed to Agent Orange for whom, you know, chemical sensitivity is something they really have to take into consideration. And so when you think about the power of having a brand that's 100% committed to certified organic and then operating in a system that allows you to make the decisions that support your values, what that means for the eater is like it's the gold standard, right? Michelle, as an eater, I am absolutely, I feel good about how I would use some of these resources. But with for our retail audience, is there any story or example you want to share with us about a way you know that a retailer has leveraged your information?
Yeah, I will just say we had a really exciting call with one of our partners, Jimbo's, recently, and they are, no surprise, super enthusiastic about this campaign. And so their plan really is to use this work not only this year, but into next year as well. They're planning on highlighting a different indie organic brand every month. We're going to be working with their social media department to promote throughout the year, to do collaborations on social media when they go out to Expo West and go around to the different tables of the brands, you know, doing little spotlights and promoting that. They're also going to do an Instagram Live with us. They're planning on possibly noting indie brands somehow in their biweekly ads. So, you know, space is tight, but they're looking at ways they can, you know, maybe drop in the logo. And so they're really looking into putting as much momentum behind this campaign as possible. They really see a kinship with independent organic brands.
That is so cool. And while you were speaking, I was wondering, has the Cornucopia Institute ever thought about a certification for independent brands? Like in the same way that we have USDA organic on the label, like would that have value? Have you thought about it?
Yeah, I mean, it's come up and we've thought about it, but it doesn't really seem to be our work. Our work at Cornucopia really is to use our deep knowledge and research into creating tools that eaters can use in the grocery store. So certification, you know, not really something we're doing, but there are other ways, obviously, that we're offering value here.
Well, I think even outside of the certification itself, you guys still have to be in tune with like even defining independence, right? Like, so I'm curious, like, with like venture capital and corporation and all this other stuff. So someone can still be kind of technically looked at as independently owned, but has venture capital. Like, how does that play into this in your definition of independence?
I'm glad you asked that, Chris, because we, when we started this project and we talked to a lot of brands, what came really clear to us is we were going to have a really, really teeny tiny list if we excluded brands that accepted venture capital, because you cannot possibly scale up beyond your community without some kind of money. And so, you know, at the early stages, VC is super important to these brands. So what we did decide on, however, was to take a more nuanced view of private equity. So private equity is an interesting scenario. And so what we ended up landing on was that when you have private equity, is the founder still in the driver's seat of the independent brand? So obviously, like in a scenario where independent brand is bought out by private equity, they immediately came off of our list. But then you have situations where it's a private equity investment. And so if it was a minority investment from private equity, maybe they're offering some sort of marketing, manufacturing, distribution resources. We did end up including them if, to the best of our knowledge, their founders retained control over production and day-to-day decision-making. And so, you know, private equity is, I will say this, the ultimate goal of private equity is to make money for the shareholders, and it can be an extractive model.
Yeah, so this has me thinking, you know, even on the other side of that we do also have brands that are independent that have a lot of organic products, but their brand or their product line isn't 100% organic. So how do you engage with some of those brands that maybe the half or majority are organic, but they still have some things that maybe it has ingredients where it can't be certified organic? Like think about, you know, some seafood or things like that. How do you engage with that? Or is that kind of like, that's just not the focus of this?
So I would say the primary focus of this campaign was to really shine a light on brands that were 100% committed to certified organic. And the reason we did that is because independent brands have the possibility of doing food differently. They aren't beholden to shareholders, and they can choose to source the best ingredients for our health, animal welfare, and the planet. And when you have the combination of independence and certified organic, it's really powerful because these brands are choosing a really arduous path. It's hard enough to be independent, but to be independent and 100% certified organic, you're only on that arduous path if your convictions are leading the way. So this is the real gems of the grocery store that we decided to celebrate. And that's how we built this list.
You described the path as arduous. What do you, tell me more.
Sure. Well, we know that for independent brands, it can be a slog to get on the shelf. And that's one of the reasons we love our indie retailers, right? Because indie retailers really are the launching pad for these independent brands. When you're independent and you're 100% certified organic, that's a whole other layer of work and investment that you're putting into that brand. And it doesn't make it very easy to survive from a cost basis. It's expensive. And so to really be in a position where we can celebrate these brands and give them a chance of succeeding is important to, you know, the future of food, I would say.
Absolutely. I feel like either path could be arduous, trying to maintain your independence and or trying to continue to keep things certified organic, because I also think that both choices are harder than they would be if you were choosing not to make that. So that makes a lot of sense to me.
Well, kind of something I kind of started thinking about as you were talking, Michelle, is that, you know, this started as let's highlight all the corporations that own organic. And now let's go over and highlight the complete opposite end of like the 100% or like independently owned 100% organic. And then there's all these brands in the middle. And so kind of how I'm seeing it is like you're giving the consumer and the retailer kind of both sides of it. And it's really then the independent retailer's job to communicate the middle. Right. Like, because that's really because you do this on also the national scale. So it's the retailer to really hyper focus in on the regional, the local, and those organic brands to help tell the local story while having someone who's looking out for like the national story on either end of that. So I guess my question around that is how do then the independent retailers that you work with, how do they help feed both of those to you? And how do they, can they stay connected to the work that you're doing and maybe help with some of that?
Yeah, I just want to go back to something you said, Chris, because it's really important about the regional organic brands. You know, as a small team, we don't have the capacity to track at this point. You know, maybe one day we will, but at this point, we don't have the capacity to track every single certified organic independent regional brand. And we love those brands and we recognize how important they are to these communities, to these independent retailers. And so we hope that these retailers use our work as a way to put a spotlight on those brands as well. Like we've created a digital toolkit where they can create shelf tags. There's no reason they couldn't put a shelf tag that's, you know, says independent organic on a regional independent organic brand that they're super excited about. These brands are the future national brands. You know, the national brands had to get started somewhere. They had to get started in some regional community. And so we want to hear about those brands from our retailers, and we want them to support them as well as the nationally available independent organic brands. And so to answer your question, like how can they stay in touch? How can they use this work? We encourage retailers to get in touch with us, to use the digital toolkit that we have shared through the Infra network, through Infra Communications, to pick up the phone and call us at any time, you know, if they want to collaborate deeper. You can imagine that as a team of, you know, eight people, it takes a long time to get to a, you know, a national network of retailers picking up the phone one conversation at a time. And that's why we're really grateful for our partnership with Infra, because this is allowing us a more strategic, a smarter way to get the word out about this work. And so, you know, Infra is a great resource for the work that we're doing as well.
So, Michelle, I know we've been talking for a while between, you know, Infra and your team on like, how can we get this messaging into stores? It actually took us quite a while, but now we have a campaign that we built. You know, members were able to sign up and be a part of this campaign. Me and my team supported with helping giving some ideas on how to merchandise some of the products on your list, how to pair them together and how to build some end caps. And within this campaign that's happening right now in July, so if you go into independent stores with our members that are participating, they're highlighting independent brands with this Independent Matters campaign. Can you talk a little bit about the campaign that's happening in stores right now?
Absolutely. So if you walk into an infrastore that's participating in this campaign, you will see our Who Owns Organic booklets, or you may see our Who Owns Organic booklets on the shelf. You may see shelf tags that are calling out independent organic brands. You may see end caps that may or may not include infra deals, promotions woven into those end caps. And you may also see through that retailer's communications that they are using their social media, their e-news, all the ways they communicate with their communities to talk about the importance of independent organic brands. I will say that by the time this airs, it's a possibility that we may have blown through our allotment of 50,000 booklets that we printed. That said, we did set aside a few boxes for the Infra Conference. And so if there are any retailers listening that will be at the conference, I will be there and I will happily share some booklets for you that you can bring back to your store. And also, if you believe in this work, please help us continue it. We are excited to do another, hopefully even bigger print run. If enough supporters get behind this work, we can keep it going and print more booklets next year. So we see this as an ongoing campaign. This is not stopping anytime soon. This is continuing to be an important piece of our work.
Very exciting. So appreciate everything that the Cornucopia Institute is doing to support both the independent retailer and the independent brand. I found so many of your answers to be so dense and fantastic in terms of just sheer informational value. But I have to ask, is there anything at all we did not touch on today that you want to make sure our listeners know about Cornucopia Institute, independent brands, independent retailers, anything in that vein?
Okay, great. Well, thanks for asking, Angela. Obviously, we hope that you will follow our work at cornucopia.org. You can sign up for our e-news there. You can follow us on social media. If you believe in this work, please support it. You know, we get to do this work because eaters and retailers invest in it with their hard-earned dollars. I also want to say that what we're really doing here is inviting our indie retailer network to participate in something that is really meaningful. That is what we're doing is we're aiming to strengthen this market now and for future generations so we continue to have access to real food. And we have a lot of love for our indie retailers. That's the thing I really wanted to end with. I wanted to give a shout out to my neighborhood indie retailer that's a member of Infra, and that's Nature's Pantry in State College. So for, you know, those of us who are stuck behind our computers all day, these retailers are a source of connection. They're a source of connection to our food system, to our soil, to our communities. And shopping at these stores and supporting the independent organic brands on their shelves is such a joy for us. Seriously, like this is heavy work at Cornucopia. And so when we get to go out to our indie retailer, which is like in many cases like a third space for communities, it is part of our work that brings us real meaning and joy. And so I just want to make sure that that is adequately communicated, because I'm not only, you know, the deputy director of Cornucopia, I'm a busy mom. I have a son who has celiac. I need to read labels. I need to understand what's on the shelf. And what you all do, you know, you're on the front lines of this work, and we so appreciate you. So thanks for what you're doing.
Well, that was beautiful, Michelle. Thank you so much for your time today. Thank you so much for everything you do at the Cornucopia Institute. Just layers upon layers of fantastic resources for both the eaters and the retailers among us. Really appreciate your time, and thank you again. Join us next week as Chris, I believe you got to speak to Aaron Anker, the owner of Grandy Organics, who I think actually came up during this conversation.
Yeah, no, a fantastic conversation. And he calls out indie retailers in such a huge way. and has a callback story from what, 20 years ago. That's really awesome to hear, which, Michelle, I can't wait for you to hear the episode and hear that story.
Oh, that's great. Well, we're excited to have Grandy on our list. So you can see Grandy in the booklet in shelves around the country right now.
And I'm excited to have them in my bowl every morning with a little bit of yogurt.
Oh, that's amazing.
Cool. Well, yeah, thanks, Michelle. We really appreciate your time.
Yeah, thank you for what you do. And yeah, let's keep it going.
Awesome. See you next time. Thank you. Bye.
See ya. Bye.
As we wrap up this episode of The Buyer's Desk, we'd like to extend our heartfelt thanks to the incredible infra staff contributors, dedicated independent retailers, and visionary natural food brands and business partners that made this episode possible. Stay tuned for more inspiring insights and stories in the world of natural food retail. Until next time, thank you for your support.
Angela Bozo, co-host and administrator.
Kim Rout, executive producer and segment contributor.
Jim Olson, Spin's segment manager.
Austin Hinkle, audio engineer.
Sarah Super, wellness strategist.
Madeline Ware, marketing writer, editor, and digital manager.
Haley Craig, audio engineer and segment contributor.
Raina Kittredge, segment contributor.
Bella Sislo, outreach manager and segment contributor.